a fencing bout between men of honor, under the direction of a teacher inspired by the same feelings, is a diversion proper to good taste and fine breeding. Much later, when Jaime Astaloa wanted to piece together the scattered fragments of the tragedy and tried to remember how it had all begun, the first image that came to his mind was of the Marquis and of the gallery in the palace overlooking the Retiro Gardens, with the first heat of summer streaming in through the windows, accompanied by such brilliant sunlight that they had to screw up their eyes against the dazzle on the polished guards of their foils. The Marquis was not on form. He was wheezing like a broken bellows, and beneath his plastron, his shirt was drenched in sweat. He was doubtless paying for the excesses of the previous night, but, as was his custom, Jaime Astaloa abstained from making any uncalled-for remarks. His client's private life was none of his business. He merely parried in tierce a feeble thrust that would have made even an apprentice blush, then lunged. The flexible Italian steel bent as the button struck his opponent's chest hard. Touché, Excellency. Luis de Ayala Velati y Villespin, the Marqués de los Olumbres, swore under his breath as he angrily removed the mask protecting his face. He was flushed with the heat and the exertion. Large drops of sweat trickled down from his hairline into his eyebrows and his mustache.
Devil take it, Don Jaime,
he said, and there was just a touch of humiliation in his voice.
How'd you do it? That's the third time you've hit me in less than a quarter of an hour.
Jaime Astaloa gave a suitably modest shrug. When he took off his mask, there was just a hint of a smile beneath his grizzled mustache.
You're not at your best today, Excellency.
Luis de Ayala laughed jovially and strode off down the gallery, which was adorned with valuable Flemish tapestries and collections of antique swords, foils, and sabers. He had a mane of thick, curly hair, and he oozed exuberance and vitality. Strong and well-built, he had a loud, deep voice, and was much given to grand gestures, grand passions, and easy camaraderie. At 40, single, good-looking, and, or so people said, possessed of a large fortune, as well as being an inveterate gambler and womanizer, the Marqués de los Olumbres was the very model of the kind of rakish aristocrat in which 19th-century Spain abounded. He had never read a book in his life, but he could recite from memory the pedigree of any celebrated horse on the racetracks in London, Paris, or Vienna. As for women, the scandals with which, from time to time, he favored Madrid society were the talk of the salon, which were always avid for novelty and gossip. He bore his 40 years extremely well, and the mere mention of his name in female company was enough to provoke romantic quarrels and arouse stormy passions. The truth is that the Marqués de los Olumbres was something of a legend in Her Catholic Majesty's pious court. It was said, amidst much fluttering of fans, that during one particular drunken spree, he had been involved in a knife fight in a cheap tavern in Cuatro Caminos, which, however, was entirely false, and that on his estate in Malaga, he had taken in the son of a famous bandit after the latter was executed, which was absolutely true. There was little gossip about his brief political career, but his love affairs were the talk of the city, for it was rumored that certain eminent husbands had ample reason to demand satisfaction from him. Whether they did or not was another matter. Four or five had sent him their seconds, more because of what people might say than for anything else, and that gesture had cost them not only the obligatory dawn start, but had found them greeting the new day with their life's blood draining away into the grass of some meadow on the outskirts of Madrid. Certain malicious tongues claimed that amongst those who might have demanded redress was the royal consort himself. Everyone knew, though, that the last thing one would expect of Don Francisco de Assis was for him to feel jealous of his august wife.